Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off third hour in just a few moments. Sarah Gonzalez joining the show as well as Mike Howell. A lot to discuss on a lot of different fronts right now, so we're excited that you're joining us. Sarah Gonzalez is going to sound off with me on Democrats who continue to just spew lies, and they're being called out on it by their own fellow Democrats. I mean, that's how bad things are getting. It's a communist takeover of the Democratic Party, and those who haven't gone full-on commie yet, maybe they flirt around with a little communism, they are on the outskirts right now trying to call out the radical members of their party. And it's not going well for either. So we're going to talk about that, too. We're also going to be talking to Mike Howell about the FBI. There's a lot there. Obviously, Arctic Frost has been a major story this week, outlining the how deep the Jack Smith, Joe Biden, whatever was running the White House, corruption truly was. But most importantly, the changes that need to be made at the FBI, according to Mike Howell, have not been made. There's a lot of people who are heading the field offices over there who have not been fired at several field offices across the country. So he's going to join us to discuss that. Plus, I'll probably get him to weigh in a bit in regards to, you know, the reports that there's a lot of reports, but the reports regarding Kash Patel probably releasing information about a terror attack too soon. It's coming from someone who I don't necessarily like, but it's probably true given his history. So we'll talk about that too. A lot going on there. We're also following again that terror attack, the alleged terror attack that was supposed to take place on Halloween weekend. Again, the FBI releasing stuff, but not giving us any information, which is not greatly appreciated, of course. Prefer to have information at our own fingertips. But what we know right now is Dearborn, Michigan police have confirmed that there were arrests made earlier this morning by the FBI. They're not giving us much more as to if it was related to ISIS or Al-Qaeda or anything like that. We know Dearborn, Michigan has a issue that they're dealing with right now as they've imported those from Islamic countries that hate us. And so we are awaiting more information on that before we could jump the gun and tell you what probably that was. We're keeping our eye on that. We're also keeping our eye on, again, a lot of the corruption, a lot of the potential criminal charges that we hope those a part of the Biden regime will face for lying to the American people. So we're following that story as well. Also, Prince Harry being stripped of his royalty. I will bring you the very latest on that front as well. So a lot happening here today. We're excited that you're joining us, of course. I can't wait to talk to Sarah because I've been fired up about this issue for quite some time now in regards to Democrats talking about the shutdown. And again, I don't think either side is great, but I also know that one side's worse than the other, and I'm referring to Democrats here. Democrats here have been very misleading. They've been lying to the American people, pretending like the shutdowns aren't related to them, but they are the ones who are literally doing the shutdowns. I mean, it's so insane. Also, we just got a new soundbite in a couple of minutes ago. We'll play it with Sarah. I'll get her raw reaction to it. I actually haven't prepped her for this at all, but we will play it for her. It's another trucker who was apparently stopped by law enforcement who is unable to speak English or read signs, apparently. We have the body cam footage from that, and it's just so infuriating, folks. We'll bring that to you when Sarah comes on board. Again, unable to speak English, unable to read signs, but somehow is driving a semi. I mean, I don't know about you guys at home, but every time now I see a semi on the highway, I go the other way. I try to go around them at all costs because you just don't know who these people are. We don't know who these people are. And as you heard the ICE director say, it's very likely that these individuals could possibly carry out a terrorist attack by trying to bring explosives across state lines. We don't know. We don't know. It's because states like California, New York, and Illinois have all just given out these CDLs with no oversight at all. And I outlined for you at the beginning of the show, it was about an hour into the show, we talked about how there have been several criminal charges over the years and convictions related to Indian nationals who have owned these driving schools. They have paid off DMVs to give over the CDLs. And then a lot of the times these are also trucking companies owned by Indians, whether they're U.S. citizens or not. They all seem to have the same last name. So we'll continue to expose all of this because this is deeply concerning and it's affecting you, the American people, of course. So a lot that we're diving into on today's show. In case you don't know, over at the InfoWars, or I should say over at the AlexJonesStore.com, we have 25% off going on right now for Halloween. So head on over there to the shop. Grab yourself some Methylene Red. We just started selling that this week on the site. So grab yourself some. That's what I'm on.
Methylene Red is the ultimate compliment to methylene blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're going to need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're kicking off the third hour of the program with a lot to unpack. By the way, in case you didn't know, I might have slipped it up the name a little bit, but I wanted to make sure we issued this correction. Prince Andrew has just been stripped of his royalty title, and he's being evicted from the Royal Lodge. That happening yesterday, so obviously a big announcement. I don't know why it didn't happen sooner, but obviously this is all probably related to the Jeffrey Epstein allegations that he's still facing and has not been actually held accountable for. So I'll bring you the latest on that as it continues to develop. But I want to talk about something that actually just got released just a few moments ago from the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation releasing, I guess, more body cam footage proving that we have individuals riding and driving semis right now all around our country who can't speak English, can't read signs. And there's more proof of that. I opened up the show by telling you all about how Indian nationals have been scamming the system and are trying to help their fellow Indians, I guess, get driver's licenses here in the United States. It's been going on for over a decade now. They operate these driving schools. They pay off the DMV employees who we've outlined the convictions that have happened from all of this. And many of these times, too, they're hired by trucking companies that are owned by individuals with very similar last names to them. It has been a scam that's been going on for over a decade now, and you're starting to see it unravel before your very own eyes because they are causing fatal accidents on our roadways. Now, in an kind of unrelated video that was just released moments ago by the Secretary of the Transportation Department, Sean Duffy, there appears to be another individual who cannot speak English or read our signs. Take a listen to his interaction with law enforcement.
You understand English? You do? Why did you park here? No, no good. Is there anybody else in the truck? Is there anybody else in the truck?
My company.
Your company. Okay, you don't understand English. Pants. Put your pants on.
Pants on? What?
Put your pants on. Pants. Put some pants on.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You don't understand English. What company do you work for?
My company, California.
Your company's called California?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't understand me.
Yeah.
Your reaction, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, so first up, it begs the question, how in the hell did someone like that get a driver's license, right? Because we have requirements that you have to be proficient in speaking English. And so one, whether you're at the DMV in California and issuing a license or the school that tested him, that would have said he's proficient as a driver and sent him to the DMV in California, there's multiple trigger points where someone should have flagged this guy that he should not be driving. The problem, specifically in California, but also in other states, is that they're not enforcing the English-only provisions of our federal law.
And again, there's been prior convictions of individuals working for the DMV who know that these individuals can't pass the tests, who are just being bribed to give them these CDLs. Joining me now to discuss is Sarah Gonzalez. She is one of the incredible hosts over at The Blaze. She's a host of the Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered show. And I keep adding the word "the" in front of it, Sarah. You might just want to make it stick at this point. Welcome to the show, my friend. It's exciting to have you on here. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. You look beautiful as always.
I'm just trying to keep up with you, girl. I'm trying to keep up with you. I wanted to talk about this because it's so frustrating. We outlined the beginning of the show. There's a history of, you know, people from outside this country, Indian nationals, doing all of this with the, you know, DMV employees who are getting bribed by the schools, the driving schools, who are taking the money from these individuals who aren't proficient in English, but they're just giving them these CDL licenses. This has been going on for over a decade. I mean, we found cases back in 2015 that we outlined on the show today. And then you see videos like this get dropped just recently about another individual who can't read, can't even communicate with law enforcement. And how the heck is he able to get CDLs in California, one would assume? Because again, they're not supposed to be getting them. So Sarah, what's your thoughts behind all of this? Because it seems to be a consistent issue here, and this isn't new. We're just now talking about it.
Yeah, you're right. And what's terrifying was the information that we learned, I believe it was maybe a week ago, where there was an audit that found that there are, what, some 62,000 CDLs issued to illegal immigrants. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, what we're seeing, Brianna. I mean, we can expect that there will be many more cases like this. And I don't know how many Americans' lives will have to be lost before we start talking about holding people like Gavin Newsom criminally liable for murder. I mean, this is blood on people like Gavin Newsom, the head of the DMV of California, the state of New York, everyone who is giving these CDLs to these illegals who cannot speak English or read street signs. Everyone who is in charge of that, everyone who knows about it, needs to be held accountable at the highest crimes possible, because this is, of course, I mean, you're giving them the keys to a deadly weapon, an 18-wheeler that is capable of killing so many people. And so I keep thinking to myself, I mean, I know you've been critical of, you know, people like Kash Patel and people like Pam Bondi, people within the Trump administration who just aren't doing their damn jobs. But I keep wondering, how many is it going to take for the Trump administration to come forward with a plan to get these people off of our streets? Certainly, we can do something to root them out and get them out of our communities, prioritize these illegals who are not only here illegally, but also have these CDLs, putting them at greater risk of being dangerous to Americans. So I keep asking, like, at what point are we going to come up with a solution to prioritize these people? At what point are we going to track these people down? Surely there's a way that we can do that. And it's just really very frustrating to me, Brianna. I mean, I covered on my show, I think it was yesterday, it's not just the illegals with CDLs. It's not just the people who came here illegally, who went through the floodgates when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris said, come on over, we're open for free. But it's also the people who came here legally, who are overstayed their visas, and who are now committing crimes and havoc in these communities. There is so much more work to be done. And it's just, as you said, it's so frustrating to see this happening. And it's like, guys, we're watching this happen. You can expect way more. So what are we doing about it right now to keep Americans safe? That question still remains to be answered.
Yeah. And Sarah, to be truthful too, as well, New York is giving away driver's licenses, just regular driver's licenses, to illegal aliens. And there's been two cases where we found these driver's licenses to have on the first name line have no name. And they actually put it on there because they can't get a name from the individual who's looking to drive a vehicle in this country. I mean, that's how insane it is. When New York was reached out to the DMV, they said, no, it's completely legal here. We're allowed to do this. And then these are actually authentic. It's so absurd. But that's what's going on in the country right now. They want the rest of us to all jump on board of this digital ID movement with real ID. But they themselves won't sit here and actually hold these individuals accountable by demanding their credentials, demanding to figure out who they are. It's just an endless issue here. And it's really, really infuriating. I also wanted to bring up this as well. Let's just keep talking about Democrats, I guess. In clip 10, there's a Democratic Congresswoman, Janelle Bynum, who is now out here spewing lies, and she can't even answer her own lie when she's grilled on, I believe this was C-SPAN, if I'm not mistaken, the journalist who just simply asked her for more information about the claim she just stated. She's unable to do just that. Take a listen.
They did have a clean CR vote on September 19th in the House. Did you vote for it?
I disagree with your characterization and want to make sure that we're very clear about what Republicans have been doing. Any bill that they've put forth, they've always had some extra stuff to it. There's always been a poison pill to it. So I disagree with your characterization.
What were the poison pills of the clean CR or the continuing resolution, you say it's not clean, that was voted on in the House in mid-September?
Here's what's important. I think what you're trying to do is shift the responsibility to Democrats.
Okay, Sarah, And she can't even answer the question. What the heck's going on here?
Well, what the heck is going on is that this is representative of the average Democrat voter, completely and totally brain dead. They take these talking points that they get from the DNC, who is also completely and totally brain dead. And then they go on these outlets and spew this absolute garbage and think that Americans are going to buy it. The problem with that, Brianna, is that as you just saw, I mean, yeah, sure, it was just C-SPAN, but it wasn't until just recently that the mainstream media had this awakening that, oh crap, wait, we actually have to push back on these people because the American people are not buying it. They see that the Democrats are the ones who are, of course, in charge of the shutdown. They know that we need 60 votes. And I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of the education system here in America, but I have to believe that adult Americans can still do that basic math and understand that, of course, Republicans don't have the votes without Democrats to get this thing, of course, over the final hurdle. And so you end up with these Democrats who just spew this absolute garbage and think that Americans are going to buy it. I just don't think they do. You see all of the Republicans willing to work with Democrats, come to the table. Let's reopen the government. We don't want people to lose their SNAP benefits. Now, me personally, I have a big problem with the SNAP benefits, but Republicans by and large don't want them to lose it. You know, they want people to receive their benefits.
I know.
And it's the Democrats who end up, you know, holding back and holding Americans hostage. And she can't even tell you why. But this is, of course, representative of the average Democrat.
Yeah, they don't understand any of this. And it's quite strange how they continue to get elected into Congress in the first place, because they're not even good at the pivot. The pivot was so awkward. She's like, leans in like, all right, I got something to tell you. It's going to be pretty bad. They're just so bad at this. They're so bad. Speaking of just that, Sarah, I mean, like you said, it's getting really bad that like some are just saying, okay, we can't keep running cover. Kathy Hochul, who is the alleged governor of New York at this point, she's been occupying the Capital Region for a very long time now. She is calling out Soran Madani. And I just like, it's two people I can't tolerate, but I have to side with her on this one, because Soran Madani is a communist and he has been lying to young voters saying that he's going to give all these free incentives if they support him and it wins in an election. If you're not smart, you don't understand how math works. So when the governor of New York came out and just outlined the fact that you can't raise taxes on the rich because they're already paying the bulk of the state's budget every year, it's really not going to go well for Soran Madani. Take a listen to clip 11.
We know that Mamdani does want to tax the rich more, bring it up about 2%. He can't do that on his own. You've previously said that you wouldn't be raising taxes. Have you reconsidered that stance?
No, I would say one energetic rally does not get me to change my positions, I assure you. But I do hear people's voices. I process what everybody says, but I'm also have to balance governing this state and making sure that those people who are actually the reason we have a generous, supportive budget that helps lift people up, it's their revenues that we tax. 1.5% of New Yorkers cover about a third of our budget. That's enormous. I'm concerned about out-migration of people who are the ones who are supporting our budget. I cannot make up for that with middle-class tax increases. I cannot do that to the middle class and the struggling New Yorkers. So this is the balance. I mean, this is my position.
Okay, so it's common sense. There are so many New Yorkers who have fled the state over the last 6 to 7 years. I was one. I fled New York, what was it, back in 2019, before the massive self-deportation, I guess I should say, of those who lived in the region. But Sarah, I mean, she's actually sounding like she makes sense. What do Republicans or even Democrats have to do to calm down this communist type of rhetoric where they're lying to voters and saying that they're just going to raise taxes on the rich as if that solves all the problems?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm glad that you mentioned you're not a fan of either of those people, because I would like to just state for the record, I am no Governor Kathy Hochul apologist, but she does have it right here. And I just think that this is the end result of importing all of these, you know, you import the third world, you become the third world. You import all of these foreign-born voters who, as you see, the polls show that Zohran Mamdani is being held up by all of these foreign-born voters who are now, of course, naturalized citizens. And so this is the end result of that, is you have this guy who is completely antithetical. His policies are completely antithetical to what this country represents, to what this country was founded on. And you have a Democrat who actually understands that. It's like, you never go full commie, okay? Kathy Hochul's like halfway there. You never go full commie. And Kathy Hochul even knows that. And Kathy Hochul is not necessarily good at her job or even that smart. But even she knows that you can't just keep taxing people into oblivion and expect them to stay. She's probably looking at states like California as well, where Governor Gavin Newsom has had this mass exodus, a lot of which happened during COVID, as you pointed out with New York as well. He's had this mass exodus because what have they done? They have raised the taxes. They have raised the cost of living. Nothing has gotten better. You have these people who are paying an absurd amount of money to live there, and they have to do things like step over human feces as they're walking to work. I mean, that's just a totally unworkable situation. Mm-hmm. And people will be voting with their feet. She knows that. And so, I mean, I just think, you know, again, New York, you get what you deserve. I just don't want it to have far-reaching ramifications that affect me because these foreign-born New Yorkers decided to vote in a commie.
Yeah. And speaking of human feces, I want to bring up Ilhan Omar because in clip 12, Ilhan Omar is going after Chuck Schumer for not endorsing Madani. Obviously, Chuck Schumer, he's kind of crazy. We don't really like him here, but he hasn't gone full-blown commie yet. And those within his party who are very radical are jumping on board to try to bully him to go full-on commie. Take a listen.
Hakeem Jeffries, your leader, has somewhat reluctantly, but has endorsed Zohran Mamdani. Chuck Schumer still has not. Why do you think Chuck Schumer has not endorsed Zohran Mamdani?
I really don't know. It makes no sense. We as Democrats have always believed that in an election, we support our party's nominee. Schumer has pressured other Democrats to do just that, and he should be following his own advice.
Do you think religion plays a role at all?
Well, the tsunami of the anti-Muslim attacks that we are seeing is deeply concerning. And I would hope that the Democratic leader in the Senate would recognize that.
She has no problem addressing the anti-Muslim attacks, not the anti-American attacks and the terrorist sympathizer comments that he's made in the past. Chuck Schumer, I mean, again, I'm kind of rooting for him for not endorsing Madani. What's your take on that, Sarah?
Yeah, I 100% completely agree. And can I just say for the record, Brianna, I am so sick to death of having these foreign-born nationals, these refugees, come into my country, and then they're going to lecture me on American politics. I am just so sick of it. Ilhan Omar represents Somalia. She has said it herself. She doesn't get to come in here, take advantage of our resources, take advantage of our refugee programs, and then come and explain to me how American politics work. It is absolutely absurd that she thinks that she is in the driver's seat, that she has the right to lecture someone like Chuck Schumer on American politics. But all of that aside, of course, Chuck Schumer is right. But what you're seeing is this culmination of the radicalization of part of the Democrat Party. The rest of them are still somewhat level-headed, somewhat not moderate, really, but they understand the balance. They understand how politics work. Unfortunately for them, they're going to have to address the Ilhan Omars in their party because they are growing at an accelerated rate, including people like, you know, Ayanna Pressley, Jayapal, AOC. I mean, you have these people who have these policies, have these ideas that, again, are completely antithetical to America. And unfortunately, with some of these, we've actually imported them. We have imported these people here. We have elevated them to be in Congress. And we need to address that because it is a real, real problem that we have these people who hold these values, who hold these policies that are totally opposite for what we stand for. And we're supposed to listen to them. I'm tired of being lectured by these people. I just won't stand for it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Sarah, we played the clip here on the show, Steven Crowder's Mug Club Undercover Team, and I keep mentioning it because I think it's just such a bombshell not getting enough attention. But they caught someone who was actually working on Madani's campaign. He was a canvassing director. I believe he still works there currently. But he was an individual who openly tells someone he's on a date with, I guess, that Madani's not someone who just randomly popped up, that this has been in the works since 2014. Now, the interesting part in this is this happened in 2014, he's alleging. In 2018, Madani became a U.S. citizen. So it shows that we are literally importing people that hate this country who are running for office and using our political machine against us to come in and attack within. I mean, this is a well thought out. This is very strategical, obviously. Obviously, Ilhan Omar being someone who ran in her community and is someone who hates America and makes that very clear. She only wants to talk about how bad America is while praising Somalia, the country that she allegedly fled, the country that her brother had to allegedly flee as well, and had to marry her for, allegedly, of course. But again, this is what's going on around this country right now, and we have to get a grip on this. You know, Atlanta is next. There's a candidate running to run Atlanta. And again, it's another Zoe Ramadani as well. And we saw it in London. It's now happening here. I don't know how many more times I could say that. Americans need to wake up. But it's getting worse, and it's getting really, really bad. It's because also we have really stupid people within, on both on the left and the right, but mainly on the left, Kamala Harris being one of them. She's someone who now is hoping that we could start bringing in more ignorant voters, people who don't understand how our government runs. And she's talking about lowering the voting age in clip 16. Take a listen.
I think we should reduce voting age to 16. I'll tell you why. So Gen Z, they're age about 13 through 27. They've only known the climate crisis. They missed substantial parts of their education because of the pandemic. If they're in high school or college, especially in college, it is very likely that whatever they've chosen as their major for study may not result in an affordable wage. They've coined the term climate anxiety to describe fear of not only being able to buy a home, but that fear will be wiped out by extreme weather, but fear of having children. It is expected that Gen Z will have 10 to 12 jobs in their lifetime. They are a larger number than boomers. They're a specific generation of people who are going to impact our nation and the world. And I think we must invest in them, but I think that they are rightly impatient with a lot of what is the tradition of leadership right now?
I mean, she's literally saying that these people are ignorant. They have brought into the propaganda that they've been shoving down their throats through the public school education system, and they've given them anxiety about climate change, which is not a factually based argument. And so now we need to lower the voting age so that those people who they've potentially brainwashed, Sarah, could weigh in on the next upcoming election. We've got about a minute. What's your take on lowering the voting age to 16?
Well, I mean, obviously, this is the whole ploy. This was the plan all along. They want to brainwash the next generation. They want to indoctrinate the youth, and they want to not only import the ignorant Democrat voter from abroad, but they also want to, of course, lower the voting age so that they can have more ignorant Democrat voters, because that is the only way that they are going to get their policies passed. That is the only way that they are going to get into office. I mean, this is the same woman, by the way, Brianna, really quick, that said that 18 to 24 year olds were stupid, and that was why they lived in dormitories. That just goes to show you, she knows they're stupid. That's the only way that they're going to get more voters. She knows what she's doing. Of course, you shouldn't be lowering the voting age. Prefrontal cortex isn't developed until 25. Give me a break.
I know. And they caught me early. I was a registered Democrat straight out of high school, because right before I got my diploma, they threw me a voter registration. It was like, come on, pick one. Yeah. And I didn't know which one to pick. Yeah. So I went with the easiest one. And that's how it starts. And so, yeah, I mean, I probably, thankfully, I didn't vote obviously then, but you shouldn't. I would actually argue the complete opposite. Let's bring up that voting age.
Totally agree.
So you could avoid people like me at 18. Yes. It was very bad. Very bad. Sarah Gonzalez, thank you for joining me today. Folks at home, give her a follow on X. You're doing an incredible job, and you actually have a great show as well, which is Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. And there's no the in front of it either. So head on over there. Give her a follow on X. And you're also one of the many people who I've noticed is widely suppressed, folks. So give her a follow so we could beat the machine. Again, Sarah, thank you for being here. Folks, we got more to dive into.
Thank you.
Mike Howell joining us in just a moment to sound off about the FBI doing absolutely nothing. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. For Halloween, it's 25% off at the shop. So go over there right now and buy up. It's time to stock up over at the alexjonesstore.com.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes 5-6 times when I'm talking to him, please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago, and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying, the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. On purpose. So, this is what they do. They're scum. The opposite of competence. The opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence. Because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we could clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, and as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, and they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. And they believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country that we've been following, specifically after the FBI Director Kash Patel made a statement on X this morning. The FBI Director announced that there were multiple arrests made in regards to a potential terror plot that was supposed to happen on Halloween weekend. Now, we've learned more about this, and it appears, according to Dearborn Police, that the arrests were made in their area earlier this morning. But I hate the source, but Fusion Ken, the guy over at MSNBC who pretends to be a reporter but has for a very long time been a deep state operative, and that's in my opinion, of course, he is saying this on X today, that there seems to be some type of like consensus amongst those within the FBI that Kash Patel announced this premature. Now, here's the thing here. I warned you at the beginning of the show. I had a gut feeling because there was no facts behind it. As somebody who has covered press conferences and major announcements related to this, you usually get more details. It's normally a press conference. It's normally a comms team that will send you an email just letting you know, hey, press are happening in 10 minutes or in an hour. So for the director to make the announcement today on X was quite strange, especially because he did the same thing with our FBI whistleblowers. He announced that the whistleblowers and the agency had reached an agreement and that they were both going to be working together soon. Everyone's going to be really happy about it, was the announcement. And so I quickly, just to vet it, called one of their attorneys. And their attorney goes, I'm still on the phone with the DOJ, can't talk about it. We're not in an agreement yet, and quickly had to go back to the conversation. It wasn't until a week later did both parties reach an agreement, and then it was announced. Like most things happen, there's a press release that goes out, and that's how we do things in these positions. And also, in case you forgot, sadly, after Charlie Kirk was assassinated, the FBI director also took to X to announce that there was a suspect arrested. Now, that poor man apparently had no involvement at all, and he was not the suspect. So the director of the FBI does have a history of this. So since we don't know 100%, I can just tell you to look at what's happened in the past and kind of go based on your own assessment. Joining me to discuss is Mike Howell. He is one of the incredible individuals, the president of the Oversight Project, and he's one of the few who's willing to actually call out and criticize both the FBI, DOJ. So it's an honor to have him on today's show. Mike, thank you for being here. This news just broke, obviously, moments ago. And again, the source is someone very questionable, and I will not sell our audience on this, but I could promise you that this has happened before. There's a pattern here. So just based on what we know now, what's your assessment on the director?
Yeah, obviously, if this was another instance of a premature release, it tends to support what is really, the truth and the perception that communications and image has taken too much of a primal focus or over the substance of the work that needs to be done. And the chief object and reason that Director Patel is there is to de-weaponize the agency and hold people accountable internal to that agency. And that seems to have been slightly forgotten. And we've been very critical of that because we want to see it happen. There have been some good firings, but not nearly enough. And Fusion Ken, the fact that he still has sources within the FBI speaks to exactly that, right? You haven't cleaned house. The Fusion Ken is busting your great rollout. And I'm no fan of his. He was critical of me and my organization this morning as well. So a lot of things, unfortunately, may be true at the same time. I don't know. Anxious to see the facts.
Yeah. And this is the problem. I've been covering these things for many, many years now. There's always a press release. There's always some type of press conference. It's not just some random to be announced soon tweet. And that's really frustrating because, again, I've been critical of the FBI. I'm not winning any friends over. And sadly, when I reach out for comment to get some more information on these things, even simply asking this morning about if there's a press release coming out or is there a press conference that I should know about, I don't get responses back. So I'm not really winning any friends over at the FBI. But that's not why we're here today. I want to talk about...
Yeah, if you have friends of the FBI, you're in big trouble, right? Like, come on. We've been critical of them for years now, and we're supposed to just, like, suspend all of our personal, deeply held views and experience with that agency just because they got a few political appointees. Get out of town. I'm not going to do that. And anyone who does that, I think, is being disloyal to the mission that the president ran on and Director Patel said before he was director. The object of the mission is still the same, and we expect them to execute it.
And that is... Well said, my friend, because that is the truth. I mean, I wouldn't sit here and lie to our audience and pretend like everything's okay. We do praise the good, but you also have to call out the ugly. And I think that's really important here. And you guys are doing just that. I want to talk about this because Arctic Frost obviously was a very big story this week. We found out that our very own Alex Jones was actually wrapped up into that as well. They tried to subpoena his records. They weren't able to get any of his communications. And it looks like now, again, we don't have all the information, but we are digging into this, that there might have been a civil attorney who then coughed up that information. Now, again, we don't know 100%. So we're just kind of trying to figure this out. But this has been a wide net that was cast amongst those who were not even really associated with the president's, maybe not even there on J6 that day. I know America First Legal wasn't even an organization that day, but they were still targeting all of this. In fact, this really only was started when President Trump announced that he was interested in running for president again. And then that's when all of a sudden they launched Arctic Frost. So there's a lot here, but Arctic Frost was a well-coordinated effort between the special prosecutor and the FBI field offices. And you guys have outlined a lot of these directors who were there at the time, who are still in these positions right now. You guys posted this tweet, and I know it was very controversial. So let's talk about this. There have been some people, we are told, who have been fired, who were involved. They were like the more special agent type But we still have all these individuals who are leading the field offices. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. Those people got promoted after Arctic Frost. Some of them in this tenure of the new director. And so that's obviously unacceptable. I'm glad that action we're hearing is being taken. These guys are just some of the more dramatic examples. There are a lot more people that were involved in Arctic Frost. As I've said, it was an institutional effort of the FBI. And so there should be a lot more people held accountable for it. I think right now there is an effort to kind of redefine what active participation in this wholly unconstitutional abuse and dragnet placed over people was. In our view, and I think the view of President Trump and a lot of others in the White House and in the public, is that anyone who participated in this, given the gravity of what was underway, should not be working there anymore. And so that's what we're pushing for. And, you know, when things are told to us, like Hoover is going to be, the Hoover building will become a museum, it's based on the same theories that we're pushing out now. So we're nothing if not consistent in that the abuses deserve accountability. And that's why we're pushing. And I prefer we didn't have to tweet it out publicly, but such are the things that move the needle.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, I've noticed that. I know a lot of people are very hypocritical, or they're very critical, I should say, about us openly going out there and voicing our concerns when it comes to certain issues. But sadly, Washington, D.C. runs on Twitter, runs on X. I noticed that if I put out a tweet that may be considered controversial or maybe going after whether it's the DOJ or FBI and criticizing them to some capacity or a breaking story that they may not like, that I suddenly get text messages and phone calls, and I'm assured that things behind the scenes are being fixed and to, you know, not go all in on these types of things. But it's kind of crazy. I'm sure you, I won't speak for you, but you may have received these calls too. But the reality is we get these calls as journalists, and it's not just me, it's others. And they're not happy when you're not positively speaking about these organizations, these agencies, but they're not making the necessary changes behind the scenes to get this stuff done. A lot of the times when I'm asking about tossing out these individuals that you're calling into question here, I'm told that it's a personnel matter and they can't comment on these things. Is that really the truth, though? Can they not tell you specifically who they're firing and who they're bringing back in, or what the penalties behind the scenes are? Because that's what I'm told, that things are happening. Just trust things are happening, but we can't tell you exactly what's happening because it's about personnel issues.
No, that's not true at all. It's complete baloney. You can certainly announce personnel movements. You can announce the conditions you're setting to remove people, such as if you participate in these things, we're going to put you on administrative leave or reassign you to a place where you can have no involvement in any of these things. And that we know that to be true because that's how it's always happened in the history of these agencies when people have, you know, gone through these things. And Fusion Ken seems to find out all the time. Yet your expectation from a lot of people in the political class up here is nothing more than to clap and applaud, and whether it's connected to results or not. And I think I refuse to do that. And that's not to say they're not doing great things at the same time. Like, there are things we do applaud that are great. And I think that is the best way to keep the president's mandate and the agenda he laid out and what the people voted for on the table, is to not settle for less just because it might affect somebody's political standing at the moment, in whether in the media or in, you know, the administration. And our job on the outside is to be honest and be fierce and advocate for the same things that got us to this place in the first place. We know the people want.
Yeah. Yeah. And the people want more. They want more from the FBI. They want more from the DOJ, and rightfully so. So we'll keep following that. I also want to talk about clemency, because Joe Biden obviously was apparently behind auto pen. Some are alleging, those on the left want to say, oh, yeah, he knew what we were all doing. But that's not the case. The auto pen scandal is one of the biggest scandals because they were utilizing the auto pen at their own discretion, it looks like. And right now we're talking about a man who was given clemency, surprise, surprise, and now has been charged with allegedly shooting another man. Again, this seems to be an ongoing issue. People were granted clemency. I've talked about a pedophile that was granted clemency, who was a Chinese national with over 47,000 child pornographic images on his device. He was released and he was sent back to China. And while nobody else wanted to talk about it or cover it, I was wondering, why are we sending the CCP back to one of their own? And who the heck actually authorized that? Again, it was AutoPen. What are you seeing here from a lot of these clemency cases? Because it looks like it's AutoPen behind this. But again, we now have another individual who is accused of shooting someone else after he was released.
Yeah, so January 17th of this year, 2,500 quote-unquote nonviolent offenders were released by AutoPen. It turned out a lot of them were violent offenders. And now, obviously, they're committing more crimes, like the least surprising thing ever. Mm-hmm. Here's the real issue. Not everyone was released during the Biden administration. Some were released this summer. So the ghost of the audit pen is still affecting the decision making by the Department of Justice under Trump to release these people, because the lawyers don't want to do what the president says when he says the pardons and audit pen actions are null, void, vacant, and of no further effect. And so really, the audit pen is still having managerial control throughout, you know, the Department of Justice in the Trump administration under the supervision of AG Pam Bondi. That, to me, is absurd. It's out of line with the president, who said over and over again that he views these things as having no legal effect. President Biden himself told the New York Times, after we blew this up, that he didn't grant these actions. He set broad categories and staff filled it in like a Mad Lib. And so there's no question these things are no good. And, you know, ultimately, we think that to make good on what the president said, the Department of Justice needs to rearrest these people and not release any of the other people that are still in prison that have had their sentences shortened but will be released at a future date. And so it's time to pony up and to stop talking about it and do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we voted for. And we have a very limited amount of people who I know are fighting for all of that. And they're behind the scenes, though, of course. One of the individuals we talk about quite often is Ed Martin. Obviously, he's a friend to many within this movement. Many were very excited to hear that he's making his way over at the DOJ, even though they refused to confirm him. We were hoping, and we still are hoping, that Ed Martin is able to carry out the duties of the weaponization division over at the DOJ. But he continuously gets attacked, and CNN actually did an article yesterday. And although the headline was pretty badass, I don't know if I'd call this a hit piece, but the weapon of justice is Ed Martin, according to CNN. And then they go on to say in the story that Ed Martin is a threat and want to be taken very seriously. What do you make of the attacks on Ed Martin? Because for those at home who don't know him, he is a patriot. He loves his country. He was heavily involved in demanding justice for the J6ers who were wrongfully dragged into jail in the DC gulag. And he's made this his life mission, it seems like, to go after those who have hurt these people. What do you make of CNN trying to jump on board and go after him now?
Yeah, the only thing that surprises me is they know how to make really cool headlines. I mean, that's what we call a framer in the business. I mean, they make him sound very cool because he is very cool. And you know what? They should be afraid of him, because all of these pieties and people that CNN has held up and defended over the years are also subject to the equal application of the law right now. And that's what Ed Martin stands for. And it makes a lot of them uncomfortable because he's actually pursuing, you know, evening out the playing field and de-weaponizing the government. It also makes a lot of institutionalists at the department right now uncomfortable because they don't want to be doing that stuff. They're politically out of step with the notion that we're going to apply this both ways and we're going to end the weaponization of government, and that's how you do it. And so Ed Martin stands for that. The eagle is soaring right now, as we like to say, and CNN is right to be worried about that.
Yeah, yeah, and we hope that Ed Martin is thriving over at the DOJ because we need him in there. He's one of the very few who I trust when he says he's, you know, launching an investigation or he's demanding answers. I know that he's actually doing just that. It's just not a quick talking point. So that is something that we do love to see. Mike, I want to thank you for joining us, of course, and all the incredible work you're doing over at the Oversight Project. Folks, if you haven't followed him, you should do that right now, like right now. One of the very few who's brave enough to go out there and push back on this narrative that they're trying to sell us. And he doesn't fear people being upset by the truth. So give Mike a follow as well. Mike, thank you for being here.
Thank you for the kind words. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, we're following a lot. As I said, I'm waiting to see if the FBI is going to give us any more information regarding that so-called terror plot that they alleged that they had foiled. Now, they're saying, of course, this was going to be a terrorist attack carried out possibly on Halloween weekend. They stepped in and they made this arrest. Initially, they said Michigan, but they didn't give you any more details. But Dearborn, Michigan police went to Facebook and did announce that the FBI made arrests this morning. Again, we're hearing that this announcement probably was a little too premature before the arrests were actually possibly made. Again, not 100% confirmed, but we're following that story. And I think it's an interesting one as it develops, and we'll keep you posted if we do hear anything. As many of you know, the Dearborn, Michigan area has been taken over by Islamists. And so when we hear that arrests have been made, and according to one report, these were young men, the head scratcher, but only a few probably know right now. And I just really hate when they do this, when they drop a sentence and say, oh, give us, clap for us, we did great. It's important to note that the Michigan FBI field offices have historically been involved in setting up Americans and pretending like they are terror plots. Again, the Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot, all the FBI. They found a small group of men who they could go after. they can manipulate online. And they claim that these groups of conservative men, this group of conservative men, were a militant group ready to go out there and kidnap Whitmer. When in fact, it was a lot of people on the FBI's payroll who were involved in that, that they gave them weed and they gave them alcohol and they had them say all these crazy things when they were drunk and high, and it was included in the indictment against them. Some of them were found not guilty. Others are actually still sitting in prison. There are two right now who are sitting in federal custody. Sadly, the White House has not pardoned them. When I sat and actually did an interview with Ed Martin, I asked about that. Ed said he was looking into it, and then quickly that took off. And then the governor, Governor Whitmer, came out and said that she did not want that to happen. She was infuriated at the idea that that could happen. And according to her, she spoke to President Trump, and he said that wasn't going to happen. And so far, those two men are still sitting in federal custody. Actually, they are in one of the worst federal prisons in the country. In case you're wondering, too, the DOJ runs the Bureau of Prisons. And so when there's lawfare or there's victims of lawfare in the DOJ or the Bureau of Prison Custody, I should say, those at the top of the DOJ actually would have a lot of influence in helping improve those living conditions. Sadly, I've addressed this with the DOJ directly, and we've gone nowhere on that. We've gone nowhere. So that's what's happening there. Also, Jack Posobiec just posting this, and I haven't had a second to kind of read through it, so we'll figure this out together right now. But Posobiec just flagging this for us, saying there's a new Substack report out regarding the Charlie Kirk assassin suspect. Apparently, this is including reported text messages, images, Discord chats leaked from Tyler Robinson and his boyfriend, which is apparently a transgender, Lance Twiggs. Again, he is accused of killing Kirk. According to this report, there was rampant drug use, extreme sex, leftism, transgender ideology, and several mental health issues. An obsession with ChatGPT. There are text messages in here, and I have not had any time to vet this in this Substack article. So take it sparingly. You know, I'm somebody who likes to vet, but Posobiec, when he pushes something over to you, it's probably a big deal. So again, this has not been vetted. This is based on an independent journalist who has released these messages and is making these allegations. So we'll continue to follow the story as it develops, but there's a lot of text messages here. A lot of text messages. There's also a lot of devices. It's kind of weird. Photos of that. Random sketches on post notes as well. Just kind of scrolling through the images, and I'll tell you again, this is not confirmed. This is being released by an independent journalist. As I scroll through it, there is a graphic image of appears to be a used condom, so we'll spare you of that. Yeah, it just looks like there's a lot of chats. And we'll have to dig into this a little bit, but this is interesting. It looks like dozens and dozens of chats have been posted. Even I'm seeing one post of a No Kings rally as well being highlighted in a Discord chat. So we'll continue to follow this as it develops. Of course, that is Jack Posobiec who has put this on our radar. And I will do just that. We'll make sure we dig into this because this is important. This is very important. And again, this is an individual who is accused of assassinating Charlie Kirk. They said originally that he actually admitted to his father that he had done so, but now he is saying that he's innocent. His father, who was a member of law enforcement at one point in his life, turned his own son in. According to reports, after he confessed, again, these are all reports, he has since decided that he is not guilty of these crimes. He has a legal team now. And his recent appearance in court, which I would listen in on, was a Zoom appearance. He was not on camera, though, but he did ask a judge to not have to wear, obviously, the prison clothes that they're given, to go in casual regular civilian clothes. The judge did grant that motion, but the judge did not grant the motion for him not to be shackled. The reason why they did this is because they're saying, you know, they don't want the presumption that this individual is guilty as of yet. So that's what's going on right now. Also, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Because right now, we're kicking off the Black Friday and Cyber Monday mega sales by starting it up now. Right now on the website, it's 25% off site-wide. That's every supplement like That's every supplement like Methylene Red, Life Force, and every shirt or hat or hoodie. You can get it right now, 25% off. We just launched this today, and we even have really cool bats flying across the website. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. All supplements include the incredible methylene red, are 50% off when you sign up for the auto ship option. And that also ensures that your supply never runs out, of course, so you always have a supply coming in. That's really important, folks. The auto ship feature is one I highly recommend you take advantage of first, because it's going to save you 50% off when you sign up for it. But also, it's great just to get these items delivered to your front door without having to worry about it. Plus, when you sign up as a VIP, the number one way to save, you can cancel any time, just to remind you of that. It's just $30 a month. Plus, you get a $40 store credit. It's incredible when you pair up all of that. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Right this very second, indulge in our pre-Black Friday Cyber Monday sales that are going on right now. It's a great deal. It truly is a great deal. And the hoodies are awesome. We've got some great ones up there. So take a look over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, a lot happening. We're still waiting for the FBI update. Nothing yet. This is what I can't stand, this stuff. I cannot stand the fact that the FBI director is sitting here constantly dropping things but won't tell you all the details. This isn't normal, folks. I've been covering these types of things. I've been covering news for over a decade now. I'm like, I don't want to age myself, though. But normally there's a press release that's put out. The comms team does just that. That's why earlier today when I broke that story about the Texas AG reaching that settlement agreement, how did I get that? Well, because they put a press release out and they sent it to all the media outlets through an email. That's how things are normally operated. You don't just get an FBI director who puts out a arrest made, thanks to our agents. We'll talk about the details soon. It was about a terrorist attack that might have taken place. More details, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. But this comes from the same FBI director, sadly, who prematurely released information regarding FBI whistleblowers being brought back in. I know that. I reported that. I called as soon as I saw Cash Patel's tweet. I called their legal team, and they were on the phone with the DOJ. They were not yet at a point of an agreement. That agreement was reached a week later. I mean, it's so absurd. It truly is so absurd. And then there was also the incident with the suspect who had allegedly assassinated Charlie Kirk. That came from the director himself. That wasn't the case, though. That person was possibly, at best, a person of interest. And again, the update regarding that FBI announcement 21 minutes ago, sources says that this was likely a ISIS-inspired plot that the FBI prevented. That's great news. That's great news. But I have to always look at the court documents, because a lot of the times, especially in Michigan, those FBI field offices over there have set up Americans, like I said to you. A lot of the times when you look at the court filings, you realize that these are individuals who would have never plotted to do any of this on their own, that instead that they were kind of nudged into it by an individual who was being paid by the FBI. So we'll keep bringing you all of that. I know the Alex Jones show will be covering that as well as it develops. I know Harrison will be all over it as well. So there's a lot happening here on InfoWars. Don't go anywhere. There's plenty more to discuss, plenty more news happening all around the country. For now, though, I'll see you here on Tuesday, of course, because big news happening for me on Monday. I'll keep you posted on X. For now, though, the Alex Jones show is beginning, so don't go anywhere.
Announcing, ladies and gentlemen, Ultra Methylene Red. Now, this bottle is three times the size of an Ultra Methylene Blue bottle, because it's to have the formula, you got to have a lot more stuff in it. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is amazing. And it just came in yesterday. I took it with the Methylene Blue. Incredible workout today. Clarity, focus. It is so amazing. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively. Limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
So we are officially the first company through the Alex Jones store that's ever even invented or launched something like this called Methylene Red. And just like you said, Alex, we have suppliers that we work with, manufacturers that we work with in Florida, Utah, Arizona, and other places. We reached out to all of them and we asked them for a formula that would super enhance the effects of Methylene Blue, but also work as a standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. So this is all backed by studies, by the way. We looked very carefully into this. The P5P form of B6 that cranks out GABA, serotonin, and dopamine like a neurotransmitter factory. It's got 5,000 micrograms of neurological B12 that regrows damaged nerve cells and shields your memory from the brain drain agenda from the globalists. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement.
Batman, the Bat Computer picked up a transmission from Alex Jones, and he's holding some kind of red serum.
Indeed, that appears to be ultramethylene red, a powerful supplement, perhaps too powerful if it were to fall into criminal hands.
Holy neurotransmitters, Batman. What if the Riddler gets a hold of it? He could outthink us for once.
Precisely why we must act swiftly, old chum. To the Batmobile.
There he is, Batman. What's red, bottled, and drives your brain batty with brilliance? Ultramethylene red.